You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Andrew Norton Weber. I first heard about Andrew's work through my friend and guest, Diana Loopy, the author of one of my favorite books, ET 101, The Instruction Manual. She had been listening to an internet radio broadcast by Chrissy McMahon, who was interviewing Andrew Norton Weber. In her excitement, she forwarded the link to me. I, in turn, was astonished by the information and started sending it to everyone I knew. Since, Andrew and I have been collaborating on the use of distilled water and liquid therapies. This show is a continuation of new material on healing our bodies, removing poisons and toxins, and awakening the inner ball of light that we are. So, let's welcome Andrew back to the show now. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Hey, Lance. Good to be back.
Good. And congratulations on your new website, which just opened up, which is, would you share that with us?
AquariusTheWaterBearer.com.
Wonderful.
It's been a very exciting week. We got the website started, and so now Aquarius has entered the house, and So I'd like to say that officially the house of Aquarius is open. Some people thought I said Aquarius the water barrel, or they spell Aquarius wrong, but it's AquariusTheWaterBearer.com. Say that. It's also been a great week because I'd like to thank Greg Prescott, who published the majority of the information that we have and the files and the documents at in5d.com. And I had sent the information to Greg, and he immediately responded that it resonated with him, and he wanted to put up an article, and so he did that. And that has really helped because that's really put it out to a lot more new people, and I feel right now we are definitely going through an exponential spreading of knowledge because always just through his site alone, on Facebook alone, it was recording over 200 shares. And so who knows what's come from that. Yeah.
Well, I also want to thank Greg Prescott, who runs in5d.com, because I have been following his site for years, and I love his work. It's one of the most enlightened websites on the Internet, and it's absolutely chock full of valuable information that you can trust, and you don't need to have quite so much discernment on there. Greg does a wonderful job of finding the very best on all the subjects that relate to awakening and enlightenment and the whole ball of wax. Just go there and poke around, and you will be sure to find something that you like there. So thanks, Greg. I really appreciate your help.
Yeah, Greg, thanks. I also put out a shout-out to Santos Bonacci. I emailed the information to him as well, and he immediately also responded that it resonated with him. And he said he'd like to talk sometime soon, but most importantly is he wants to start infusing the information into his interviews that he does and speeches that he gives. I just think that's fantastic because I love his work as well. And
yes,
he's got a great following, so that's going to put out another exponential branching for the knowledge to creep out there.
Wonderful. And I too, want to back that up. You know, when I had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, I was just I was really impressed with his work, his presence. I love his interviews. I love what he's doing. And if you want to find out what's going on the planet, check out Santos Bonacci. He's a terrific guy and has great information.
Okay, and the way, just so for Bill listening, the way you spell his last name is Bonacci.
Right.
All right. Another matter of order, I would like to draw attention to, on Facebook, there is a woman who has had diabetes since she was a child, and she's in her early 50s now. She has a Facebook page called Changing My DNA.
Oh.
And if you go to that page, what we have going on right now is a real, live, ongoing testimonial of somebody using distilled liquids to go toe-to-toe with a disease. And hers is diabetes. And she is now on day, I think it's 110. And on that Facebook page is all 110 days of her writings of how she has slowly changed. And it's very exciting to listen to. She's an excellent writer, and it's just wonderful to watch. So that is a real live ongoing testimonial that will be, you know, added to the overall bank of knowledge that we're collecting.
Yes.
So
and
Changing
people,
My DNA.
How do people find it?
It's on Facebook. I guess this would only be for people that have a Facebook page. It's Changing My DNA.
Okay.
Just print
okay.
that into your search engine.
Okay, good.
I would like to say that with the new Aquarius, the waterbearer.com site, a lot of the things I said we're going to get on there are on there now. The list of 24 doctors are on there who all had the courage to tell the truth about water, distilled water.
Good.
Notables will be Dr. Charles Mayo, Dr. Andrew Weil, who a lot of people really respect in the health community. He's been drinking distilled water for years, probably decades now. Alexander Graham Bell is on there because he saved his life on it. So it's a real excellent list. When you read those 24 doctors in a row, it'll give you pretty much just as much of a basic understanding of this whole set of knowledge as I do. But it's good because it's coming from people who have just spent their life studying. And they had the courage, unlike the powers that were, to tell the truth about distilled water rather than try to hide it. And one thing that's not on the Aquarius site yet, but it's the next thing I'm working on, it's going to be very important, very useful for people. I'm going to take my 20 urine therapy books and pull out all of the testimonials and categorize them alphabetically by disease. And there's going to be a tab at the top of the Aquarius site that'll be, you know, say something about alphabetically listed testimonials by disease, something like that. And if you, whatever disease you have or problem or issue, you'll be able to look that up alphabetically and see the grouping of all the testimonials that have happened before you that speak directly to your particular issue.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
So I think it's incredibly valuable. And I can speak about all this stuff with such fluidity because, like I said, I've got those over a thousand testimonials in my head. And once you start absorbing those, it paints this picture that you just can't forget. It just becomes, it's just so simple. Like I said, it'll take your breath away. This knowledge is so simple.
Uh-huh.
The testimonials that people drink in distilled liquids is just, there's nothing. Anybody that's got their common sense turned on, it'll win you over.
Wonderful.
I'd like to make a correction. I made a mistake in the original interview with Chrissy McMahon.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like somebody on Facebook brought it to my attention. I really appreciate that. I had stated that the pH of the blood in its normal state is about 6.4. I got confused in the moment, and that's actually the average pH range for urine is what I what I said by accident. And the real pH of blood is always at a 7.35 to a 7.45. It stays right in that little window. That correction.
Go ahead.
Yep. No, what do you got?
Well, I just took my pH. I have a pH testing tape that I occasionally take, test my urine to see how acid or alkaline I am, and it fell within about the 6.4 range. But I can adjust that to become more alkaline, which is said to be a safer and more healthy range to be in the dark green in the alkaline state rather than the acidosis state, which is what most diets encourage. They bring you down to the lowest state of acidosis.
Okay. Yeah, the typical urine range of pH is from a 4.6 to an 8, and so 6.4 is pretty much right in the middle of that range. That's why I stated that. I'd like to get into giving some more real, simple, common-sense facts to prove distilled water and to help people continue forming this visualization of it.
Okay.
The mechanic. When they used to be in the land of batteries, car batteries that had caps on them, a mechanic, if you went to it and your battery is dead, and they'll still remember this, they will tell you to take off the caps, open the caps, and pour in distilled water specifically, because the distilled water makes the battery alkaline again. When it's dead and it won't turn over your car engine, it's in an acidic, positively charged state.
Mm-hmm.
So you pour in distilled water, which is in a negative state, and all of a sudden the battery has all of its power back. So you're an electrical system.
Uh-huh.
This is another thing that shows this is why you get power back after you put distilled water in you rather than the car battery.
Uh-huh.
And you're an electrical system, so that makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Another thing is plants and rain, and how do we visualize that distilled water actually does melt stones and rocks? Well, anybody that's a gardener, and even people who just been outdoors a lot, they will notice that immediately after it rains, there will be a huge boost in the plants and the foliage. They'll spring right up. And it doesn't matter if you've been, you know, watering your garden for weeks on end with your garden hose. It just kind of, you know, keeps it alive, and it does well and well. But there's always, any gardener knows, after a rainstorm, everything just pops up an extra foot or 6 inches, and it's greener than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening here is distilled water is falling from the sky, and it's melting the rocks. Plants live on rocks.
Oh.
We, which is inorganic dead matter, we are supposed to live on organic living matter. Though when the rain comes down and that plant is in there, that rain melts all the rocks, and all of a sudden there's a plethora of new food for the plant because the rain melted the rocks, literally melted the rocks, ripping them apart one molecule at a time as that negatively charged water is attracted to all the positively charged particles of dirt. And this is exactly what goes on inside your body with that calcified pineal, that thing's a rock, and everywhere else in your body that you got stone deposit, it's going to melt it. So that's a piece of proof. After the rain, the plants go crazy. Okay?
That's right.
Another thing to help visualize the state of distilled water. Most people think that that might be the distilled is a description of the ingredients of the water, or that it's a, it's not, though. It's distilled refers to the condition of the liquid, and most people think, well, the only thing that can be distilled is distilled water. Well, but all fruit and vegetable juices are scientifically known as distilled liquids. Well, I thought, you know, you might not think distilled water is nothing but clear, and it can only have hydrogen and oxygen in it. But again, it's the condition, and the reason that you can have live orange juice and you've got things in it besides hydrogen and oxygen is that those are all living things, and living things have a negative electrical charge. And so now inside the orange, you've got water and negatively charged living minerals. So distilled means unstill. It used to be still. And when you remove all the objects, or more importantly, when you turn every object in a body of liquid into the same magnetic state, and in this case we want it all negative state, everything is trying to push away from each other. You can visualize when you have some magnets, and you put the same you put the opposite sides facing each other, they almost snap together. They're very attractive to each other.
Uh-huh.
You just flip over one of those magnets and put the same sides facing each other, and they want to repel each other. Like there's almost this invisible force field you try to put the two together. Like, no, I don't want to go. It tries to go around it.
Right.
Well, imagine if you had a body of a volume of something where everything in it was, in a sense, around, say, a ball-bearing magnet, where every one of those spheres is radiating in all directions a negative charge.
Uh-huh.
Now, that means that every object in a gallon of distilled liquids is pushing away from each other. None of them are attracted to each other because they've got the same charge. Uh-huh. And so that's why Dr. Handley, who I've got listed as Dr. number 23 on the list, calls it the most molecularly unstable water that there is.
Huh.
And that's because of this thing. They're all trying to get away from each other. And that helps you to see why there's so much motion. And when you drink it, it just goes looking for things to bond to because it's tired of pushing away from itself. So distilled refers to the condition. And so even in the orange juice, even though it's got ingredients besides hydrogen and oxygen, they are all still negatively charged particles. Uh-huh. And that's why your urine as well. It's not just hydrogen and oxygen. It's got all these great bioavailable minerals in it and ingredients and hormones and all. They've all got a positive charge, I mean, negative charge to them. So that's why even urine can still be called a distilled water. It's
okay.
The condition. That's what that refers to.
Okay.
All right. We've got a very new, exciting piece of proof for making you want distilled water. And this has to do with ohms. I have a great friend up in Maine, and I'd like to put a shout out to Maine and all these new Mainers I've been coming in contact with who are learning about this knowledge as well. My friend in Maine is an electrician by trade, educated, and he has an ohms meter. And I went to visit him, and he has well water in his house, and he uses a reverse osmosis filter to treat his well water.
Okay.
And I, traveling, had with me my distilled water. And so we had three types of water with us. We had well water, reverse osmosis water, and distilled water.
Ah.
And he, just in conversation, he said to me, you know, distilled water, all electricians know, is the only water that will not conduct electricity. Now, when you tell a lot of people this, this blows them away. They're like, no way, that's not true. But it is. If you look it up, you will immediately find out that it's absolutely true. But it's not 100%. There is actually no water anywhere at all that will 100% not conduct electricity.
Okay.
It's just a matter of how close you can get to 100%. And they measure resistance to conducting electricity in ohms.
Mm-hmm.
So the more ohms something has, the more resistance it has to allowing electricity to pass through it. Okay?
Okay.
So we took those three things of water, and the ohms meter has two wires coming out of it with a piece of metal on each end of each wire. And you stick the two electrodes into the water, separated from each other, and the meter registers how much resistance, how much energy is flowing between the two electrodes.
Uh-huh.
And if a lot is flowing, it'll have a low reading. It means it has low resistance to electricity. It'll have a low number of ohms chalked up on the meter. Okay?
Okay.
So we put it in this well water first, and it was a pretty low reading. So it means it has a lot of... it looks like what is happening is it's the objects in the water. It's the inorganic ingredients in the water
mm-hmm.
that allow... That is what the electricity is actually arcing across through the water.
Mm.
And the more that it's just pure water, the less it can pass through because there's less objects for it to dance across. So I put it in the well water, had a low ohms reading. We put it in the reverse osmosis water, and it kind of had a middle-of-the-road reading. Then we put it in the distilled water, and it had a high reading, meaning it had high resistance to allowing electricity to pass through it.
Okay.
Now, my friend drinks reverse osmosis water on a daily basis.
Uh-huh.
And then we took the electrodes out of the water, and he held one of them in each hand. And so
uh-huh.
he was asking the meter to read how much electricity was passing through his body from
uh-huh.
one electrode to the other. And it registered a kind of middle-of-the-road ohms reading.
Uh-huh.
The funny thing is it mimicked the type of water that he drinks.
Wow.
And now what happened next is what neither one of us expected. I grabbed both electrodes, one in each hand, and whereas the distilled water had registered as a high resistance,
uh-huh.
it jumped up to what you would call, for me, a very high resistance.
Huh.
It jumped up higher than even the distilled water. Now, my electrician friend's face kind of, it was startled both of us, because it just all of a sudden jumped to a number higher than we had seen before. beautiful piece of knowledge. Now, what this shows you is that the more distilled your body is, the less that harmful electric energy can flow through you. This literally allows you to access that invisible force field that you always wished for as a child. You literally have that ability to ramp up your resistance to negative, to bad energy. And so, another way, the more distilled you are, people become, you know, they de-age, they become youthful, their diseases go away, they have more energy than ever. Energy starts to flow through them, but we're not talking about harmful electricity type, but we're talking about life force.
Right.
So the more distilled you are, the more clear you are, the less dots of inorganic matter is inside your body, the less that bad energy, harmful energy can flow through you, and the more that good vibrations can flow through you. So this gives you an ability to physically make your body either susceptible to being conducive to good vibes, or you can be conducive to bad vibes. And very much in this day of HARP, scalar waves, electronic harassment, Wi-Fi, cell phones, we got bad energy all around us.
Oh, yeah. Chemtrails.
Lo and behold, here again, distilled water allows you to produce a force field, which does not allow bad energy to flow through your body.
Oh.
I think that's just phenomenal, and I'm totally excited about that.
Well, that is really exciting.
Yeah.
No question about it.
And I would actually like, I haven't done it myself yet. I don't own an ohms meter, and I'm back down in South Carolina now. I would guess that you could, somebody should do fasting and measure their ohms resistance every day, or even, you know, whenever you start doing this therapy, if you can get a reading on your ohms resistance, and I guarantee you that day by day you could do a recording and see that your ohms, that your resistance would increase. And so it'd be interesting to see, you know, when somebody has really, you know, done a 15 or 30-day fast, you know, test that person then.
Yeah.
I want to see what their ohms resistance is.
Well, you know, Dr. Bragg, Paul C. Bragg, wrote a book called The Miracle of Fasting, and he drank nothing but distilled water all his life. He had a PhD, and he guided his clients in fasting, and he was a huge proponent. The whole book explains about how fasting reduces the amount of vital energy that you use up digesting food, which really has become non-essential. It's become a habit that is degrading the immune system. So there's a lot to this. And Dr. Alan Banik wrote the book, The Choice is Clear, where he explains the seven different kinds of water, and he calls distilled water the miracle of all water. So those are two books that I find very helpful in understanding the complexity. Well, it's actually simple, but understanding the difference between thinking outside the box, which is healthy, and going along with the herd, which is not as beneficial.
Yeah, yep. I'd like to give some more tips on fasting in just a minute. I want to stick on helping give some more proofs and understanding about distillation. Let's see. I mentioned earlier that hangover helper in the last interview, that if you... pilots also, and pilots have been drinking a lot, and they got a hangover, but they got to go fly. You always see them strap that oxygen mask to their face. I want people to know that distilled water can start being visualized as a big old tank of oxygen. Now, it's H2O, and you might think that it would be two-thirds hydrogen, but it's actually roughly two-thirds oxygen because the oxygen molecule is huge compared to the hydrogen molecule. People have to have a prescription for oxygen, and or football players huff on it. And this is why I think that it can help a hangover or just in general make you feel better. It's because you are consuming nothing but two very powerful gases, hydrogen and oxygen, and especially that oxygen, you know, all that damage from alcohol is repaired by this massive flow of oxygen. So distilled water is very much a glass of fresh air. That's another to think about it.
And then isn't there an interaction? You didn't quite explain how, for instance, when inorganic minerals get into our body that we cannot absorb, as I understand it, the body in its wisdom can't remove them itself. So what it does is it moves them to the safest place within the body that it will do the least damage over time. So, for instance, if you're drinking well water that has a lot of minerals that have not broken down, been broken down by plants, and has metals and residue from chemtrails washing into it and so on and so forth, then as I understand it, the body moves those into bones, muscle joints. It could be the cause of arthritis, eye problems, the fluoride in the normal water, and in many other products which we're unaware of, including baby food, causes brain damage and an inability to think and think clearly. As I understand it, the distilled water, because it has a negative charge and is alkaline, it's pushing away the positive charged fluoride, which accumulates mainly in the pineal gland. And so, and it also removes all the inorganic minerals that are just there by virtue of being put in waters, and they're even adding fluoride to drinking water now and bottled water.
Sure. Let's see. Well, it's not necessarily true that the body can't remove these things. It's that in our state of overconsumption, that it can't overcome the rate at which we're eating, taking in toxins, and it, being hydrated is what allows you to move this out.
Okay.
Now, the body only has a certain top speed at which it can eject garbage. And so when you exceed that rate, that is when the body has to start tucking it away. This is where the infinite wisdom comes in, and that the body never makes a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It can only allow the blood to get to a certain toxicity level. And when it reaches that max load, that's when it stops bringing things out of you, which it does safely through the blood highway, and it starts tucking it away in places that aren't going to kill you in that moment.
Right.
Because the body always makes decisions towards keeping you alive as long as possible, given your current toxic load.
Okay.
And so when it's called the law of vital adjustment, when you you start taking in less than your than the rate at which you can eject garbage, you start reversing that trend, and your lifespan actually lengthens.
That makes much more sense. And of course, as you know, most of us are over-consuming and taking in a lot of toxic substances. And I did not know until a few days ago that massive doses of fluoride are in some prescription drugs, like Prozac is one, Paxil is another. It's in baby food. It's in one of the arthritis medications called Celebrex.
Yeah, and in the past couple of years, the ADA just came out and recommended that it's properly fluoridated water should be used in infant formula.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Wow.
I'd like to mention the documentary "Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead."
Okay.
This is another excellent video that adds two more case histories to the Distilled Liquids Hall of Fame. In this movie, these two gentlemen spend 60 days straight consuming nothing but live, raw fruit and vegetable juices.
Oh.
And you literally, and this has helped people prove that we're talking about the fountain of youth here, that distilled liquids will de-age you. This movie is a documentary. Part of the problem with urine therapy knowledge in these case studies is there's not much photographic and video evidence. But this phenomenal documentary, Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, shows two guys who one's like, you know, almost 300 pounds. The other guy is almost 400 pounds. Very sickly, very bad moods, disposition, cranky, just it looked terrible, ashen. You watch in real time throughout the course of this documentary, you watch these guys de-age. They melt away, they get smaller, they get happier too, and they go from ashen to golden. They're glowing by the end of the documentary. Their eyes have opened up, the one guy's eyes, the star of it, his eyes get bluer, and he's happier. You can just see the life force radiating out of him. I'd love to test to get an ohms reading on him.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is an excellent documentary that anybody should watch if they want some literal in-your-face proof that distilled liquids will de-age you. They are the fountain of youth. Okay?
Well, go ahead.
Diabetes. Even diabetes and multiple sclerosis. People tend to think of these abstract diseases that we just can't find a cure for. Okay? Comes back to stone again, that the body is slowly turning into stone from the inorganic minerals. All the diabetes is, it's not that the pancreas can't eject insulin anymore. It's that the ejector ports on the pancreas have become clogged with stone deposits, just like the fuel injectors on your car develop deposits, and run a gas cleaner through, and it cleans out the deposits so that it sprays and ejects gasoline correctly.
Uh-huh.
If you drink enough distilled liquids long enough, you will melt the corrosion on the ejector ports of your pancreas. And they will, it's not that it can't produce insulin, it's trying to, and it's got it, but you've just got clogged up ejector ports.
Wow.
As I mentioned, the Changing My DNA on Facebook, that woman has diabetes, and you can see throughout her testimonial that her need to use her insulin has dramatically dropped, and her blood levels are very much stabilizing. She's still
wonderful.
In the process. Yeah. Now I'd like to speak to multiple sclerosis.
Okay.
multiple sclerosis exactly says that your body is full of stone. That's what it means. Sclerosis means, quote, a hardening of tissue. Multiple sclerosis means you've got multiple places where you've got hardened tissue. And even on a woman that I know has MS, I asked her about the pineal and asked her if she, you know, had ever had an MRI. If she did, I told her, you know, you could see how that you have a white rock in the middle there. And she said, well, I don't recall about that. She said, 'cause I didn't know at the time. But I do recall, I do actually have an MRI of my body. She's almost constrained to a wheelchair. She's so bad with it. She does have an MRI. She said she recalled that there were all these white streaks throughout the MRI image of her brain. Well, the only thing that shows up white on an MRI is stone and bone. So that's what it is. Multiple sclerosis, multiple deposits, multiple hardenings of tissues.
Wow.
And
the distilled water will work its way through the blood-brain barrier, right?
Oh, just anywhere, you know, the whole body's got water flowing everywhere through it. And so that's, you know, there's nothing that can hide from this.
And because of the negative charge of the water and the positive charge, it literally pushes. Is that how it works? Or does it pull the
piece by piece? Piece by piece, it takes the deposits away. Almost like when you're licking a lollipop, you're slowly getting to the center. This is slowly attacking the overall form and whittling itself down to the center till it's gone.
And that includes the pineal gland, I take it, which is the main accumulator of fluoride in the body.
Yeah, and the second main accumulator is the thyroid, and this directly relates to the obesity epidemic.
Oh, yeah.
Not only, And in fact, I have a friend who's 72, and he says he remembers when he was in high school, there was only one obese person in school. And he said that was right about the time that the fast food came on, and that's also right about the time that the fluoride came on. So not only do we have people eating food that's just the most heinous garbage ever to put inside your body, but the fluoride is also calcifying the thyroid, and that's why there's such a rash, a plethora of people getting their thyroids cut out because they're not working anymore. They'll be on thyroid medication the rest of their life, when all they would have had to do, and I'm sorry if you've already had this done, you know, had it cut out, but all you had to do was drink distilled water and decalcify it. And so when it calcifies, that's when the metabolism gets shut down. Or for some people, it gets pinned when they, you know, their eyes get big and they're always hyper. Their thyroid is super sped up. And I tend to think I'm a little bit in that sped up category because my metabolism is really fast. But so you start eating the worst food ever, combined with shutting down the metabolism, that's how you get an obesity epidemic. People look like they're blowing up. I'd like to speak to erectile dysfunction.
That's important for us men.
This, too, is just stone junk blocking up your pathways that deliver blood back and forth to the penis. So you can just start seeing that almost everything that's wrong with the body is garbage stuck inside the machine. I'd like to also mention that the pineal is also a sex drive regulator, and so that, too, will help with erectile dysfunction and symptoms of, you know, not being able to be, I don't know, it just kind of brings in the spirit and turns people on or whatever. And H.P. Lovecraft had a movie called From Beyond. And in that movie, he made a machine that stimulated the pineal gland by putting out this vibration. And whenever he turned it on, the room became purple, you know, which is closely associated with the third eye and up on that part of your head. And not only did they would start being clairvoyant as soon as it came on, but they would also, they became horny and wanted to start, you know, having sex with anybody in contact. But that was just a funny, I've never seen a movie mention the pineal gland so much as Lovecraft, From Beyond. I think it was like 12 times in the beginning of the movie. It was really fun.
I'll have to check into that one.
Okay. Let's see. I would like to talk about fruit, conventional fruit versus organic fruit. It is my belief, you know, because this is just draining people's pockets trying to pay for organic fruit. I believe, it's just a visualization I'm doing, but let's say an apple, supposedly one of the worst conventional fruits to buy. It is my belief that that distilled water in there, I think it's okay to buy conventional fruit. You know, it's obviously if you can afford organic, okay, go for it, because it's better not to have the stuff. But for a lot of people, can't. And it, my visualization is that the amount of distilled water in that apple, it'll be no problem for it to handle the amount of pesticides and residues that are on the outside of the apple.
And wax.
Remember, they are an empty vacuum.
Right.
And so, yes, maybe that the pesticides will fill up that vacuum 5%, and that, you know, you'll have some lodar attached to it. But overall, the volume is going to, you know, it's going to be able to handle those dots no problem and have plenty of other leftover vacuuming power to clean you out. And again, that documentary, Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, is proof of that. I do not believe, somebody has to check me on this, I don't believe he was specifically buying organic fruits and vegetables. I could be wrong, but I think that may also be proof of what I'm saying, because they literally start to glow by the end of the movie. And, you know, you just don't ever see anywhere in your existence in this life, you don't see people de-age and start to become younger again. That's just a fallacy and cannot exist. But this movie, this documentary, is exact proof of that.
Wow.
I highly recommend that for everybody. I'd like to talk about Webster's Dictionary and sodium fluoride.
Okay, go ahead.
This is an excellent way. Most people, you know, they want to call you a loser if you try to tell them about fluoride. Well, I say to you, go look up sodium fluoride in a dictionary. Okay?
Okay.
Now, what you find is that most of these today's dictionary has a rosy blurb about it being good for protecting your teeth, and something that's added to water. But Noah Webster was, I believe he's a 33rd degree Freemason even, very well-known Freemason. Amongst dictionary aficionados, the 1957 Webster's New International Second Edition is considered one of the ultimate dictionaries to have. I have that dictionary, and when you look up sodium fluoride in it, it does not say anything about it being wonderful to ingest. It does not say anything about it being great for your teeth. In fact, it has a very short description of sodium fluoride, and it ends with the following words: a poison used for vermin.
Ooh.
Right?
Wow. Okay.
Now, you fast forward to the future, and you look at today's dictionaries, and even, and I can do this right now, Webster's has changed the definition of fluoride. Yes, in the adult ones, they will still mention somewhere in the definition that it's a known, that it's a poison. But in the Webster's, Merriam-Webster's student online dictionary, you look up sodium fluoride, it says nothing about it being poisonous. All it talks about is, it refers to it as a salt that is added in tiny amounts. It's a cute little word. It's in tiny amounts. That is added in tiny amounts to drinking water to protect your teeth. Why aren't children being told that they are being given a poison? Why don't they deserve to know that it's a poison? And especially if you go even further back, any dictionary from the 40s, I once saw one, a science dictionary from the 30s, and it had a giant paragraph to describe sodium fluoride, and it just couldn't go on and on enough about all the many different ways that you can use it to kill things. That's a fantastic pesticide. It's the number one ingredient in today's cryolite that is still being sprayed on crops. Grapes have cryolite all over them, full of fluoride. It is one of the fantastic rat poisons of all time. Now, it used to be that when you went to go buy rat poison, it would say sodium fluoride as the active ingredient. And I wanted to get a box of that one, so I drove around stores so I could prove it. But none of them had it anymore. They had this kind of super long word on it. You look at the active ingredient, and fluoride is nowhere to be found. On my last store that I stopped at, just got to be karma, I was walking out, still didn't find sodium fluoride-based rat poison. An exterminator pulled up to the hardware store. And so I said to him, I said, "Hey, I got a question for you." I said, "My grandfather used to swear by sodium fluoride for killing rats." They said, "But I can't find it anymore." I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Yeah, they phased that out about 5 years ago." He said, "Just like with everything that's poisonous, they don't really ever tell you. They just slowly phase it out." And he said, "What I noticed," he said, "I started working in the rat in extermination business 8 years ago. We were using sodium fluoride still, but they started reducing the amounts because it so destroyed the nervous system of the rat and so obliterated it, and, you know, like I said, it shreds your DNA, that they could not pick up the rats and remove them from the site without them bursting. And so they kept trying to lower the amount of fluoride, but eventually they just said, screw it, and they just stopped using it altogether." Okay? So that's how tasty fluoride is. And I'd like to point out that the definition, sodium fluoride is in between lead and arsenic in its toxicity level. Lead, the worst, arsenic's just below it. Sodium fluoride is in the middle. The definition of lead and arsenic have not changed over the years. They are still listed as poisonous. But somehow, fluoride is not defined as poisonous anymore. Just so everybody knows.
Interesting. Good research.
Thank you. Okay, I'd like to use two more ruses that they use to scare away people from distilled water. You will see them say that one of the reasons to stay away from distilled water is because it leaches carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, which is true. Again, they always do these half-truths, and they skew it. Okay? Now, the reason it's doing that is because when you have fresh, brand new distilled water, it is looking for anything to attach to because it's tired of hanging out with this old negatively charged self. It's hungry for positively charged particles. Okay. And so the second you expose brand new distilled water to the air, it starts leaching carbon dioxide out of the air, which is in the air. Hmm. Now, they say that as though it's the only water that does that. But the joke is that other waters do it too.
Mm.
They just don't do it as much and as vigorously because they've already got a load in them.
Oh.
But they don't tell you that, you know?
Right.
They just say distilled water leaches carbon dioxide from the air. It's definitely acidic. And this makes, you know, of course, the more particles that get absorbed into distilled water, it makes it more and more acidic. And so they say, you know, stay away. It's acidic. It's terrible for you. And it leaches carbon dioxide from the air. Yes, that's true. But it's an on-purpose, obfuscated truth. The reason it does it is because it's proof that it's an empty vacuum and it's ready to go to town picking up garbage. Okay?
Okay.
The other stupid ruse that they are using to fool people, is that distilled water leaches minerals from when you cook food in it.
Okay.
Yes, this is true again. Because, as everybody in the raw food world knows, when you cook your food, you turn the organic charge, the negative charge, you flip it. As soon as you kill it, as soon as it becomes dead, goes from alive to dead, the charge flips from negative to positive, okay? And so if you're cooking some broccoli in some boiling water, in distilled water, and as soon as every dot of it is affected and killed, and becomes positively charged, absolutely that distilled water is going to rip it out of there because it's looking to stick to things that have the opposite charge of it.
Huh.
So this makes sense, and Wallace leaching is minerals that you don't want anyways. They used to be alive before you started boiling it in water, but now that you've boiled it, thank the distilled water for leaching those out of there because you don't want them because they're dead now. Okay, so enough of that.
Right. How about How about the idea that I read that many doctors recommend that it's okay to purify your body to cleanse it for 30 days, but never drink beyond 31 days because it leaches the minerals, they don't say, they just says it leaches minerals out of the body. And of course, they can kill you.
They're just trying to scare you again. It's a joke.
Isn't that the distinction between inorganic and organic? Because the organic minerals can't be leached out of the body by distilled water.
Exactly. It's scientifically, physically, electrically, magnetically impossible.
And also, distilled water does not hold radiation. So there's a lot of concern lately about various radiation. Nuclear waste plants breaking down, and that's floating through the air. It's coming through the water. It's coming through the oceans. It's coming into through the plants and the fish. But as you said, those are particles, and radiation is removed in the distillation process, just like nature would remove it if there were no chemtrails.
Right. So that hopefully can go out to all the people in Japan, especially around Fukushima. I'd like to put a shout-out to my friend on Facebook that came with a great idea that as soon as possible, somebody out there that's got skills, please put Japanese translations on these interviews, my interview with Christy McMahon, and let's make them available for everybody who speaks Japanese, and more, even more to the point of the whole globe. We need translation into all languages on this information as soon as possible, if anybody can do that.
Well,
we have no copyright.
Yeah, one of my guests can do that. He is an ambassador from the east to the west, and he does that. And I can put you in touch with him. And I think Fulford, as nutty as he can be, he does that as well, doesn't he? He might be somebody to consider.
And I'd like to, if anybody out there has a personal connection to Fulford or David Wilcock, please get this information to them. I heard David mention reverse osmosis water in one of his speeches as far as being good at cleaning out. Just wanted to know about the distilled aspect, that it's even higher and it does it even faster. This is a good point to bring up, too. There's a lot of people arguing back and forth about reverse osmosis versus distilled water.
Mm.
Across the board, it is known that distilled water gets, you know, on everything. I mean, reverse osmosis, it's always in the high 90s. It's never 100%.
Right.
But distilled water with a proper charcoal pre-filtration is always at 100% or as close as possible as you can get to it. I'd like to say that it's also, you see, deionized water. That, too, looks like an actually a closer substitute to distilled water, definitely ahead of reverse osmosis water.
Huh.
Because, again, the ion, when we talk about the negative-positive charge, that is also referred to as the ionic charge of things. And so deionized water has had all of the positively charged ionic matter moved out of it. So it, too, is nothing but a negatively charged bath of water. And we've got a friend in Switzerland who says all there is over there is deionized water in the stores. I'm recommending him to go ahead with that because it's really, again, it comes back to the condition of distillation.
Mm-hmm.
You could use, you know, reverse osmosis and deionization and get very close to a distilled state. You can come at this water. See, it's not the process. Most people think that it's when it's only if it's been steam boiled or it's been evaporated.
Uh-huh.
But it's not. It's whatever process that water has to go through to become completely distilled, to allow it to be the most, as Dr. Hamley said, the most molecularly unstable water that there is. And that just happens when you remove the items from it.
Right.
So, yeah, it is okay. It doesn't have to be distilled water, but see, when you take reverse osmosis and deionization, if you do a whole bunch of things, you're trying to get it to the state of being distilled.
Yeah.
So any water or liquid can become distilled through a variety of means. It's just what you do to get it there. Nature's chosen path is distillation, and the hydrologic cycle with the oceans, they use evaporation. I should tell people about the volatile organic compounds. I don't think we've covered this yet. City tap water is especially loaded with VOCs, volatile organic compounds, and the problem with them is that they have a lower boiling point than water, so they actually make it through the distillation process. If you have a distiller and you distill some water and you test it and it tastes worse than ever, like it's got plastic in it, those are VOCs, and that means that the water, your source water, has a lot of it in it, and almost all tap water, municipal water, is like that. And so you need to do carbon pre-filtration because carbon picks up the VOCs. And if your water turns out to be so strong that even the carbon pre-filter is not doing enough, the highest recommendation I can give to treat water is to do reverse osmosis to it and then send it to the distiller.
That's what I do.
You're right. And you get $150 under the sink reverse osmosis unit. So that that's not very much. And then send it to the distiller.
And I have a friend, one of my guests, Anelia Benz, is using nothing but distilled water. She's distilling it herself. And when I was talking to her about it, she said that the gunk from the water in Sacramento that's left at the bottom is just, it's smelly and it's putrid. She said you would never know that if you were just pulling a glass out of the tap. And there's a list of items that were tested by the University of Pennsylvania and Carnegie Mellon of about 40 or 50 different toxic substances that are consistently in random water. Cryptosporidia, Giardia, arsenic, barium, boron, cadmium, cobalt, iron, radium, chloride, nitrate, ammonia, lead, mercury, nickel, selenium, vanadium, and benzene, phenyl, chloride, benzene, toluzine, hexachlorothane, nitrobenzene, and about 30 other things that I can't pronounce at all because I can't. They're technically beyond my recognition. And those are all in the water.
Yep. Got to get them out, people. Not good for an organic creature. I'd like to, on the new Aquarius, the waterbearer.com site, and of course you can go to scribd.com, but I'd like to mention two books On distilled water, of course, you've already said The Choice is Clear by Dr. Bannock is excellent. Dr. Bragg has a book called Shocking Truth About Water.
I love Dr. Bragg's work. He's amazing.
Yeah, and Dr. Norman Walker has a book, something about water can ruin your health. But my favorite distilled water book at all is the one that's 16 pages written by Dr. Hanish. If you punch it in on Amazon, you can't find it. Well, there's one used copy of it. But for some reason, Amazon is not carrying the works that Health Research Books is publishing. If you Google Health Research Books, they are actually selling a new printing of The Distilled Water Cure by Dr. Hanish, the 24th doctor. And it's just a phenomenal little 16. It's crazy that it's only 16 pages, but again, information is so simple.
Are you going to have that up on your site? The pertinent information?
On the list of 24 doctors, he is the 24th doctor listed. I've got his writings on there.
Okay, good, good.
The Water of Life by John Armstrong is probably the most classic urine therapy book ever read. It's the first one I ever read. I didn't get a quarter of the way through it before. He just was so convincing I wanted to try it. But I've got there a link to that that book as a PDF file is on the Aquarius site. Everybody everywhere in the universe should know the body of knowledge that's inside that book called The Water of Life. To read testimonials about what happens to people when they start fasting and drinking the urine, it will blow you away, and everybody should know about it. All right, I got to talk fast here because we're getting down to the how many minutes we got left.
It looks like I think about 4 or 5.
Okay. I would like let's get spiritual here. All right.
Okay. Good.
yeah. Let's ramp it up. Let's ramp it up, people. Are we headed? Okay. In a land where everything becomes psychic, deception can no longer exist, and that is one of the goals of spreading this information and changing this ridiculous state that this planet is in. No more deception, because when everybody is psychic, you cannot be deceived, all right?
Yes.
Okay. As people start clearing off their pineals, they're going to start waking up, and we need to start waking each other up in the dreamland, okay, so we can all start learning more exponentially.
Yes.
I'd also like to tell people if they want to try to astral project and they want to start lucid dreaming, it's been my experience and from watching others as well as myself, that you need to stop smoking marijuana. I'd like to recapture the term for marijuana being a gateway drug. It is a gateway drug, but in a different way than the people that push that term mean it. It allows you to study and be open up to actually absorb information and to realize that you have a stargate. So I'm going to, in a funny way, say that marijuana is a gateway drug because it allows you to learn and know that you do have a stargate, that your pineal gland, and that you can astral project. But it seems like people have a very hard time becoming lucid when they smoke. And marijuana users across the board, as far as I've seen, have testified to this. Whenever they stop smoking for even 3 days, if they go on a trip and they don't have any grass with them, all of a sudden they start having dreams, and very lucid ones at that. So for all those that are trying to astral project, it looks like you can use marijuana to get you to the stargate, but you have to leave it at the door.
Okay.
You want to go through. Okay?
Okay.
Now, once we all start waking up at night, those that are more lucid and are already doing it, I'd like you to try to remember during the dream to go start waking up your friends. And it's something you need to talk about in your conscious waking life with your friends. Say, hey, whoever can wake up tonight or any night, try to become lucid in the dream and try to go wake up everybody else.
Oh.
Because if we start becoming lucid during the whole 8 hours that we're sleeping, we can all start learning at an exponential rate.
Yeah.
We can access the Akashic records, you know, anything, any answer you need to get. I think it's very, very important that we all start thinking about who can wake up, and if you become conscious, I've had friends that are trying this and they're starting to have success.
Wonderful.
Verifiable to the point where you call your friend the next day and say, hey, I tried to summon you to my dream hour. I tried to come see you and we did. Do you remember? And they'll either say yes or sometimes they don't because it depends on how asleep you are. Most people are sleepwalking through their waking life. Even if you do become conscious and I say, okay, take me to go see Lance and I'll go find you, I'll actually have a hard time convincing you that it's the dream world. because we're so asleep in the dream world, we don't realize it is.
Yeah.
People should come up with a cue word or a trick phrase word, something like maybe, this is your wake-up call.
Oh, good.
So, you know, between you and I.
What kind of
like
the movie Inception where they use the music from the radio to
pull
them out of the dream?
Right, to cue you in.
Yeah.
But this, we're talking when we want to stay in the dream state, not simply wake up out of bed. We want to stay in there. So we can, and then, you know, if I can come wake up you, then you and I will go see Diana Loopy and wake her up.
Ah.
We start waking each other up, and together as groups, we can start making exponentially speed up the rate at which we're changing this planet.
I love it.
Does that sound tasty or what?
I love it. That is very juicy.
All right, I'm going to throw a shout out to the arts, okay?
Okay.
I would like everybody to try to visualize the psychic arts. All right?
Okay.
Now, can you imagine psychic theater where not only every actor is psychic, but the entire audience is psychic?
Ooh.
Now you've got not only what you're doing with your body and what you're saying with your mouth, but you've got what you're projecting with your mind, and the whole audience can know it as well. And so now this is all, I mean, think about this art that's going to start to happen in the future as we all become psychic. How about psychic artwork?
I think we're just about out of time.
Okay.
So, if you can wrap that up and give us your website, we're going to be done.
Okay, AquariusWaterBearer.com. Don't anybody drink over a gallon and a half a day. That's the most I've seen a doctor recommend up to.
All right, people,
carry on.
We'll continue that conversation, which was very interesting, in our next chat.
Thanks, Lance.
Thanks a lot, Andrew. Great stuff. Good night, everybody.